close to his mouth and speak loud and clear.
The writings of Rabash, the article is, what is, for I have hardened his heart in the work. We should ask about the verse, for I have hardened his heart. Why did the Creator not harden Pharaoh's heart right in the beginning? But we see that only after Pharaoh admitted and said, the Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked. Then the verse says, for I have hardened his heart. Also, all the interpreters ask, why did the Creator deny Pharaoh the choice? It is known that the order of the work is that we begin the work in order to receive reward. To the extent that the body hears that it will be rewarded, and if it does not suffer, this leads a person to work in observing Torah and mitzvot. That is, to the extent that he believes in reward and punishment, he receives motivation so as to be able to observe Torah and mitzvot in all its details and precisions. In this way, a person sees that he is advancing each day, therefore enjoys his work, since he sees progress in the work. This follows the rule that one cannot do any work unless he sees progress in the work. It is like a person learning a profession, and he sees that he is not advancing in this profession, so he looks for something else to do, an easier job for him. But without progress, it is impossible to do anything. This stems from the matter which God has created to do. For this reason, there must be progress in everything. This is like the horse that circles the grindstones and walks in circles all day long. Because it constantly walks in the same place, its eyes must be covered so it does not see the truth, but will think that it is walking to a different place each time. That is, even animals must see progress in what they do. And any progress in the work is seen only when we work in order to receive reward. But when we begin to work in order to bestow, when we want to achieve dvikut with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, the person cannot look at the things he does. That is, although he sees that now he is doing more than he did while he was working in order to receive reward, but now he has a different measurement, which is to what extent he aims his actions to be in order to bestow, and not for his own sake. Echshehu, at that time, he sees that he is far from it. Although he has many ascents, meaning he ascends in his degree, and now he wants to do everything for the sake of the Creator. It's only because he has received an awakening from above, and he wants to annul before him as a candle before a torch. But afterward, he descends from this state and falls once more into self-love. Then he sees that he has become worse. That is, he sees that each time he is farther from the work of bestowal, to the point that many times he comes to a state of pondering the beginning. A person asks himself, why, when I worked in order to receive reward, I had a good taste in the work, and I prayed and learned willingly. But now that I want to make more efforts than I did while I worked in order to receive reward, I see that I do not have the flavor that I had then. The person asks, now that I want to work for the sake of the Creator, it stands to reason that I should have felt more closeness than while I was working for my own sake. But now I see the opposite. Not only am I not advancing in the work, but I am going backwards. The answer is, as Bala Sulam said, that one must believe that everything he feels now, that he is farther from the Creator, comes from above. That is, it is the hardening of the heart that the Creator gives in order for one to discover that real need, meaning to feel that without the help of the Creator, a person cannot emerge from the control of the will to receive for himself, but only the Creator himself can help. That is, as the Creator gave him the nature of the desire to receive for himself, he should now give him a second nature called desire to bestow. Since there is no light without a kli, which is called deficiency. That is, the lack puts the taste in the filling. Thus, if a person is given a filling, but he has no need for it, he cannot taste the real taste in the filling. If he is given the filling before he has a need, he will not be able to use the filling to elicit from the filling what is in it. It follows that the lack is part of the filling, since one without the other does not work. It follows that as one is given a filling from above, so one should be given a lack. It turns out that when a person sees that now he is farther from the work of bestowal, he is given this from above, because the lack is part of the filling. Therefore, as the upper one gives the filling, so he gives the lack.
everything for the sake of the Creator.
It
therefore follows that when one feels deficient, that he is immersed in self-love, and that he is far from the matter of bestowal, this does not come from the person, but rather by an awakening from above. That is, from above he was notified his real state, that he is removed from the Creator and does not want to annul before him. That is, when one feels his own loneliness, he must believe that it came to him from the Kedusha. This is similar to what is written about Moses. He went out to his brethren and saw their suffering. He saw an Egyptian man striking a Hebrew man, one of his brethren, and he saw that there was no one. In the work, we should interpret that precisely when a person has the quality of Moses, called Torah, he can see how an Egyptian man, meaning the will to receive for himself, he says that it is called a man. And with this force, called Torah, he sees that it strikes the Hebrew man. That is, for the Hebrew, a man is one who does not do what a beast does, meaning that a man is one who does not use the desires of beasts. As it is written, and he saw that there was no one, meaning that a man will never emerge from him by itself. This is so because that person has the quality of Moses, who is the quality of faithful shepherd, who shepherds the faith for the whole of Israel. And that force awakens a person to see the truth, that he will never achieve the quality of man by himself. This is the meaning of the verse, and he saw that there was no one. This causes him to ask the Creator to give him faith in the Creator, by which he will achieve dvekut with the Creator. So the great measure of gratitude to the Creator. Hence, a person must seek advice how to see that he has wholeness. However, he must see that his wholeness is not built on falsehood. We should ask, if a person sees that he has no need for spirituality and he is immersed in self-love, how can he tell himself that he has wholeness? First, we must appreciate the connection we have with the Creator, meaning that one must believe that the state where one feels that he is empty and destitute, when he feels that in his heart there is no need for spirituality,
who
gave him that feeling? Usually, a person worries about what he lacks, and he does not worry about what he does not need. Thus, we should ask, who gave him the worry for that which he does not need? The answer is that in truth, he does have an inner desire,
he does need nearness with the Creator. But that lack is still not revealed within him to an extent that he will need to seek advice how to satisfy his lack. For this reason, a person must be glad that at least he has a need for spirituality. Whereas the rest of the people have no interest in spirituality whatsoever. When a person appreciates this, although it is not important to him, he does appreciate it and tries to thank the Creator for this. This causes him to acquire importance for spirituality. And from this, a person can be happy. By this, a person can be rewarded with dvikut. Since As Baal Sulam said, the blessed clings to the blessed. In other words, when a person is happy and thanks the Creator, he feels that the Creator has blessed him by giving him a little something of Kedusha. Then the blessed clings to the blessed. And through this wholeness, one can achieve real dvikut. Baal HaSulam said that a person should depict to himself, even when he is in utter lowliness, when he thinks that if the Creator had illuminated for him a great awakening, as he once felt during the ascent, he would certainly be willing to do the holy work. But now that he does not feel anything, how can he deceive himself that he has wholeness? At that time, he must believe in the sages who said to us that one must depict to himself as though he has already been rewarded with feeling the existence of the Creator in all his organs, and how he would thank and praise the Creator. Likewise, now he should thank and praise the Creator as though he has already been rewarded with the real wholeness.
To feel it.
He
writes, if they weren't to feel the real lack, they wouldn't be able to feel the real filling, because there's no light without a kli.
Yes.
What's that hardening of the heart that causes a person to feel that that distances him from the work?
Perhaps it's for a person who truly wants to attain something, but still cannot attain it. But he truly wants it. He desperately wants it. And if what he wants to attain depends on how much he wants it in his heart, in his innermost desire, and he needs to take care of it. Why doesn't he want it that much?
And how does that lead him to adhesion and not to run away from the work?
If what he wants is very, very important for him, then he's looking for ways to increase the deficiency for it. And he sees that his heart disagrees. we do? Only to turn to the Creator and complain that his heart is in disagreement and he has no control over his heart. So ask.
All the time.
That depends on a person's sensitivity. In many instances, we feel as if we are in the same state, as if nothing is changing. And there are states in which we truly feel that the heart is becoming harder. Then we can also discern that it's coming to us from above. So, what are we doing?
Yeah. Raf, what gives us this sensitivity that, this sensitivity to want to feel this, this constant hardening of the heart?
This is a good question. If we, let's imagine it this way. If our heart would be more sensitive than how it is today, would be more sensitive to changes that we might be going through, but simply aren't feeling that things are like yesterday, like a month ago. If the heart would have been more sensitive, how much could it help us in changing our position, meaning what we're lacking is the sensitivity of the heart. Then we could raise ourselves to the Creator and demand the feeling of the current state. It's a problem. How to increase the sensitivity of the heart. Grow it.
What does the heart need to be sensitive to?
To my current state, a more internal state, more truthful state, one that I don't respond to.
To what the Creator gives me, to the friends, where does the heart need to be aimed?
Here. The heart needs to be aimed at the goal. What does the Creator demand of me by changing the states for us?
And how do we soften the heart when it's heavy?
I simply can't understand what is demanded of him.
So
we can say of ourselves.
So how do we soften it? Soften it so it'll be sensitive, so it'll be understanding to the what the friends are giving me. And
the heart is in the hands of the Creator only. That's why I need to turn to Him.
But
if a person has no control over his heart and the heart is in the hands of the Creator, then what? What appeal? Also the appeal to Him, for to soften my heart I need to receive from Him.
That's why in addition to the Creator, we also have the matter of the environment.
The more I am in contact
with the environment, with my friends, the more I could feel what is that change that I have to go through. Otherwise I will be completely blocked relative to those changes.
Because it seems like the heart is even heavier and it's hard to open it and be in sensitivity.
And I agree with it?
No, I don't agree.
So,
how to accept the fact that this is the process, that this is how it is? That now the heart will be even more blocked. It's like opened it, and now it's opening, closing up even more. It's becoming heavier. And an even bigger deficiency opens up. Meaning to understand that this is the process and to agree that this is the process. That it's...
What would happen if I agree with it?
He says you need to beat it up. Either to Pharaoh or to the Egyptian, we have to come with blows.
So specifically, disagree.
Right.
And
but usually a person gets disappointed. He enters disappointment. He's coming closer and...
What can he do against it?
So
this disappointment won't stop him?
To ask for the forces from the Creator. But here he kind of like, he brings in, he says the right line, because you have to be in wholeness, because if you're in a lack, you can't...
Yes.
So how is the process closed up? Because when you're in the right, it stops you.
What state do I need to get to?
Where all my actions will be in order to bestow, to aim the heart.
No, you're just giving me a...
Here it's written that when a person starts for all his actions to be for the sake of bestow, he becomes worse.
Yes.
So a person needs to receive that force from the Creator so that he will be able to overcome this desire. The question is how to agree that the deficiency is growing.
How to agree that the deficiency is growing? That's not a problem. It comes from the Creator. What can a person do with it?
It's like I'm moving backwards and it's okay. It's like hard to agree that it's like that.
And then? Seemingly buries himself.
No, he says go to the right, but it's not really clear how to close this circle.
Again.
Yes.
Tov.
Can we be whole from deficiency?
What does it mean to be whole from deficiency?
I'm missing something, but I see that it's good, that it advances me eventually.
You cannot advance purely from a deficiency. Deficiency means something is deficient in your feeling.
And
this requires a reaction from a person.
Very well, but a deficiency is kind of like our goal, for me to misbestow. It's the kli, it's actually something that advances us to the goal. It's excellent. Why is that not wholeness if the deficiency is correct?
We can't live in a deficiency. It goes against nature. A deficiency means that fulfillment or filling is lacking. It's always like that.
Okay, we can't live. We can't remain in that permanently. But why is it not wholeness? Why is it not in the direction of wholeness?
Why is it in the direction of wholeness? Let's say that I feel hungry. And I feel hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. So I need to feel the attainment of the goal in that.
It's like sufferings of love. I'm satiated soon, but soon I wouldn't need anything, but I have a deficiency for something.
That's not considered a deficiency.
Many times he talks about here and also in other articles that when a person feels a lack, then to the extent of the lack, against that is the extent of the wholeness. And then he says that we have to give consideration to the connection we have with the Creator, that He gives us the lack, etc. So many times when we have the work in the left, how to increase the right above it. Many times I don't see when there's right, when there's wholeness, how to grow the deficiency. So I see that it's written less about that.
He has to always tie himself to the goal. Is the deficiency that I have now, can I use it to reach the goal?
Yes, but let's say he says here to increase the wholeness. So a person receives a certain lack and he succeeds. The deficiency comes from the Creator and he's thankful and is grateful for it and rejoices from it. Now, that's not just enough because we have to grow the deficiency, otherwise he'll remain in wholeness and be stuck there. So about that, it's barely being mentioned, or that just needs to be revealed to him and there's no...
It's revealed, in fact, in the action itself. Or the greater his deficiency, the happier he is.
Because he could adhere this deficiency to the measure of wholeness already?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Rav, מה בדיוק משתנה בלב?
What exactly changes in the heart?
You have to figure this one out. To scrutinize it. We are coming to states where you have to interpret the article from beginning to end.
What is the heart that's being spoken of here?
It's a place in a person
that's
sensitive to his own, to his path. A person or a person can feel his path,
his spiritual path.
Yes.
And here he talks about the heart being the hero. Everything happens upon it. It's that what's being given hardships and is overcoming. The hardship of the hardening of the heart, is that advancement?
It's one state from advancement.
The Creator is the one that hardens the heart.
Yes.
And the Creator hardens the heart so that a person will do what? What is he supposed to do against the hardening of the heart of the Creator?
A person has to overcome the hardening of the heart.
With
all of this burdening.
And how does a person overcome the hardening of the heart?
By, if it's possible, in the ten, with the help of the environment, and if not, with the Creator.
So Creator hardens the heart of a person so that he will adhere to the environment?
Turn to the environment and to the Creator.
Through the environment to the Creator?
Yes.
So what a person needs to learn from this is he needs to address the environment to get the importance of the environment and through it turn to the Creator? That's the process the Creator expects of him?
Yes.
Is there
another way for a person to acquire those discernments, or is this the only way?
There is none, not from nature.
Meaning the hardening of the heart is a necessary part in the process on the way.
Yes.
And it's also something that constantly develops. It's not one time.
Understand that we're discussing things here. We are discussing those points that you need to try and open up and discuss and advance through them. You hear that? Good. I'm asking in the context of, let's say a person feels he's moving backwards. Whenever he's advancing, he needs to move backwards. So he feels that everything he had disappears. And then what's the frequency of this state, this complete state comes to him?
No, this complete state goes specifically also when he goes backwards. A person needs together with the complete state to feel that he is moving forward. If he works every day, well, not 100%. There is no such thing. There's no righteous in the land. So he feels that nevertheless, usually he feels himself that he's advancing. In left and right, but he's advancing.
We feel it when a person feels he's moving backwards, as it's written in the books. A person feels he's moving backwards. What should he add to that state so it will be advancement? As you said, he's supposed to disagree with it. What should he add to it in his work?
That's
something you need to answer.
You
have nothing more to say. You have come to questions that we need to search ways to receive the answers. Okay? And it's actually good that you're all looking at me as if I'm supposed to solve your problems. No. You together try to connect between you and bring yourself to a state where you're demanding a solution from above. Please. Without looking at me. Again, I'm saying this. That's not the right direction.
No.
Well.
Does
someone have something to say about this?
Shlomo, that's Hill. So.
Shlomo, you start.
Yes. You tell us in the 10 to scrutinize the question. It's not clear because some of the friends have no questions. Everything is clear to them. Some of the friends may have questions. They don't hear answers, or the answers are these same lines, you know, to connect, you have to pray, well, so on and so forth.
That's not an answer.
So what is the correct scrutiny in the tale? How to awaken the questions, the answers? What's the correct work between us? What do we need to come to?
We
need to come to us working before the question of the Creator.
Now,
we feel in what we feel the question of the Creator. What is the question of the Creator? Why he has brought forth the hardening to our hearts. For several days now I'm in the study and in the scrutiny, and here, for the first time maybe, we are stumbling upon the Creator being to blame. He caused the hardening to our hearts and demands for this a response.
What do we need
to look at? Why did he harden? What is he doing?
Feel what he does, what he does in the heart of each and everyone. And from that we'll see what we do onwards.
What kind of reaction is the Creator waiting from us?
For me to first of all locate what's in my heart. And that the Creator did it.
No.
After that we'll see. First of all this. What, this is already clear to you? No, so why do you want to jump ahead? It is written, I have hardened his heart. Yes? Meaning our heart, which is an egoistic heart, the Pharaoh, the Creator, is constantly growing it, truly inflating it. So how do we respond?
Yeshua.
Is there an answer?
No.
Well.
Atem, vakasha.
You, please.
He replies at the end of the article. So what's needed is for a person to rely on the belief in the sages and understand that the one who's hardening his heart is the Creator, and he has to be grateful for that, because it's an inverse connection in the posterior, meaning the Creator is in contact with me and he cares for me. How? By growing my deficiency. Seemingly of the feeling of being distanced from him, but he did it. He did that. And then I have the first connection with the Creator. He understands he's twisting and turning this entire business.
And?
No.
Maybe Rami knows.
Well,
I think that belief in the sages is something we need to receive from the friends. Maybe something, it's belief in the friends. Maybe seeing the friends and like that. Because his whole life, a person looks at his state and decides what to do. He's sick, he goes to the doctor. But here he's unconscious. So if this morning he was walking down the street and he fainted, he lost his consciousness, someone has to take care of him, someone else. Someone that cares about him should come and care for him. And that state where a person loses the connection with the Creator, even though it's coming from the Creator, he's got nothing to do except for relying on what he invested in, let's say, in the environment. And they will keep him, pick him up and bring him back on course and open his eyes, and they'll be grateful for it and be joyful. But at that critical moment, it's only the connection that he built with the environment earlier, and only that will ensure that they'll be able to lift him up.
Yes.
Spoken the 10 about how he's growing our vessel, our deficiency in this process, until he reaches the lowliest point in a man's heart, And that's to bring him to the deepest depth of the deficiency, and from that he will turn to the Creator. He will want to see the Creator's action in this deed.
Yes.
It seems like the work we're doing in connection, importance of the goal, all that, it eventually brings us to a wall. It doesn't bring us to attain, because the environment supports constantly, we get importance from society, world, Kli, Rabash articles, everything. We're wrapped constantly. But a prayer doesn't come out of this. We don't get to the sons of Israel side from the work. We don't reach a breaking, but we just keep working. When do you come to a prayer from all this, to a plea?
It
depends how we decipher our situation.
On every state, society has a solution. The 10 always has more forces to give you because they're always above you.
So
in this way, we never get to anything.
Right. So?
What?
More.
Again.
Yes.
Maybe first he works because of a reward, and he feels a taste in any action, in every action of bestowal. When he wants more, he starts aiming himself for the sake of the above and not for himself. He sees he has no forces. He sees that all his desires are only for himself. So here a dialogue with the Creator starts. That the Creator is the only force that can help us.
I think
there's a question up in the air here that we're speaking between man and the Creator.
Yes.
Each one inside has that feeling in the heart and his calculations. And there's between men and the ten.
Mm-hmm.
And also here, there's like a constant dialogue. The question is, how do you connect them? For instance, I'm giving an example. When I feel that wholeness comes from the ten, so it's an opportunity to ask for deficiencies inside, or when deficiencies come from the ten, to ask for wholeness, or when I am in wholeness, to search for the deficiencies in the ten, is that like a ping pong that completes each other? Or maybe some other way, I don't know. To complete the inner work of a person together with the ten.
Yes.
One of the friends in the ten mentioned the fact that each one of us is a will to receive, and with due time it becomes more and more clear. And a spiritual vessel is only when we work on the connection, or try to work on the connection.
זה מאוד יתים כאילו להרגשה שאנחנו עובדים ביחד, יש איזו תחושה כזו.
Was right with the feeling that we're working together. There's like a sensation that that's a direction, and then you just fall into whatever you fall into. So the question I'm adding now, if I may, how does this thing that from within the group we will reach they side from the work, that not each one on his own?
In general, this is what happens.
That we all reach that conclusion together?
Yes. And it's not quite that each one feels exactly what the other one feels. It's impossible. There are still differences between them. But this is what happens.
Да, дорогой Рафа, но вы говорили сегодня, что сердца находятся в
you were speaking about how the hearts are under the Creator's control, and we need to reach a state that we're expecting His bestowal, His interference. What does it mean that He interferes in our state?
We are always results, because created beings remain created beings. We are always results from what we feel, the general response, and we feel ourselves in relation to the previous response from the Creator. And this points to our state, to how this is how I feel it, of intellect and knowledge have become a play toy, a toy in the hands of blind nature who leads us astray, and who knows where.
Yeah.
So, who knows where? Do you know? Who knows where He wants to lead us?
I don't know, but we accept His control as the only upper control that is in control of us in an essential way, in a necessary way.
Kadima.
Let's go. What?
Can I ask?
Real quick.
He writes here that a person can appreciate the pleasure or the destined benefit, and accordingly he decides to act. He sees that there's a surplus.
Yeah.
What makes a person make mistakes so that in the end he is deficient?
Because he doesn't know the future.
So it depends on a person's psychology?
Yeah.
So those whose psychology is wrong?
Everybody is mistaking, because we can't take the future into account correctly. It's not in our hands. It's not in my desires. So what can I do?
So it's better not to do anything. It's better not to advance toward...
So how will I take the next action? How will I take the next step?
This is really the question.
There's no question. I have no way to weigh this correctly.
So I'm just being forced. So I'm being forced to do everything I do.
Yes, if not for our desire to receive, to try and gain something from every action, we couldn't decide anything.
So, in the end, a person measures himself moving only according to suffering.
Only according to what his will to receive is demanding of him. That's it. Do this or don't do that. That's what he's saying. That all in all, we choose the path that seems better than the path that seems worse.
Headline, The Law of Causality. It is worthwhile taking some time to grasp such an important thing, meaning how we exist in the world as beings with a self. Where each of us regards himself as a unique entity, acting on its own, independent of external, alien, and unknown forces. And in what this being, the self, becomes revealed to us. It is true that there is a general connection among all the elements of reality before us, which abides by the law of causality, by way of cause and effect, moving forward. And as the whole, so is each item for itself. Meaning that each and every creature in the world, from the four types, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, abides by the law of causality, by way of cause and effect. Moreover, each particular form of a particular conduct which a creature follows while in this world is pushed by ancient causes, compelling it to accept that change in that conduct and not another whatsoever. This is apparent to all who examine the ways of nature from a pure scientific point of view and without a mixture of bias. Indeed, we must analyze this matter to allow ourselves to examine it from all sides. Good morning.
So,
will I always want what the people outside want?
No.
I know it's only the beginning of the article, but he kind of closes it. You'll always want what is want, what they want outside. It's not your own will.
The fact that the external world is working on me, that's correct. But except for that, there's part of the people that get an additional desire to come out of the control of the world and to be above it. That's called to come closer to the Creator. Yep.
Let's simplify it for a minute. Greed is the most powerful desire. After greed, there is women and other lusts in the world. And then, so what do? He says, I speak, I eat.
Okay, well.
I don't choose to sit this way, eat this way, speak this way. So I have no control over what is happening.
No, you don't. That's why, what's he say here? How's the article called? The freedom. So what is the freedom? That's what we want to know.
So how do you have freedom from these desires?
I don't know. Let's read. It's good that you have the question, and you see that it's an essential question in life.
Yep. It always throws me into what you said, that this world is built on six desires, etc.
It doesn't matter how much. The fact is that we right now are lost in our desires. And everything you're asking and everything you want to ask, against or pro and con, you don't come out of that cell. That cell you're in.
That cell you're in.
Yeah.
Is there a way out of it?
There is.
Will I stop wanting what I wanted before?
No, but I can be above it.
But it'll still exist in me. I'll still want these things.
No. I can rise above it in a way that it won't work on me.
So it doesn't govern me? It'll still be in me.
Okay, maybe it'll remain. Specifically, so every time I can see that I rise above it. On such desires.
So each time it awakens in me,
let's say every time.
So you'll be able to, you'll get used to overcoming, you'll be able to overcome each time?
Yes.
With the group, without friends, with friends?
No, it doesn't matter how. Eventually, I rise above all of humanity. And reach the Creator. and become free, and I feel and understand that I am like him. You understand how, what an opportunity we have to grow?
It's totally opposite. You don't enjoy these things. It doesn't control you. You don't enjoy them. It's.
I guess there are other types of pleasure.
It's like your importance changes or what?
Yes, you're right. The importance changes, the desire changes. Yep. You have a good question. I just want to understand one thing. What he writes, is he speaking about a general law? Yes. Is it on all the still vegetative animate that go through development? Yes. That's it. What's in man, and as opposed to seeds or rocks, or it doesn't matter. What's in him more? If you start talking about the upper forms, that's something else. But the biological body, the chemistry, still vegetative, animate, and speaking, their development is equal development, each one obviously according to their nature, but the development is equal. What he wants to say is that these four reasons are in each and every one.
Balasulam is describing an order of cause and consequence. Everything seems to be predetermined and pre-planned. The example of wheat, can you say it about anything? Everything develops in this way?
It has to be. But is there anything additional according to what he writes? No.
For example, wars.
Wars
in the world. Does that also develop? Can you see its cause and effect, the process by which it happens?
Wars.
Ken?
Yep.
למשל, נגיד אם יש עכשיו איום.
For example, if there is a threat now, Iran and other countries are threatening Israel, is it something that can be changed? Do we have the strength to change it? Or is it a mandatory process?
Of course it comes from the law of development. And of course that we can affect it. We can influence it. If we want to connect between us and to reach that same force that then works on all of creation in a way that we connect between us above our ego that separates between us, then obviously we can influence the whole process the world is going through.
Should we aim for something specific, a specific action, or connection in general, and whatever happens in the world?
When we want to connect between us, in order to reach an action, a general action of connection of all the people that can reach in order to bestow, that they will get an impulse for it and implement it.
More concretely, do you feel a threat, a real threat on Israel?
Why are you asking? Why is that important?
Because it bothers people.
Bothers is good.
The question is, can we change this? Or is it a process that has to come? How should we relate to it? Should we be disturbed by it, not be disturbed?
You want to erase the law of nature, that people are burdened by this, and it could be that it brings them to some new state. A new decision. Right.
So I want to understand it, not to erase the law of nature, but how to work with the law of nature correctly. Because if it has to come, let it come. But how do we work with it correctly? Maybe we can prevent it.
All laws of nature come in order to bring us closer to one another.
So how should I relate to a threat that comes to a person?
That is one of the negative types of pressure that through a positive pressure you can neutralize it, annul it. Yeah.
Why neutralize it if it's a natural law that comes to eventually bring us closer?
That is exactly called to bring it closer and use it. Yeah. All the laws work like that.
How can a threat bring us to freedom?
Don't jump from a threat to freedom, even though it's not so distant from one another. We need to reach a state that we use all these forces, especially that come down on us with a great threat, that we can use them also for connection in a good way, to reveal the Creator, to come closer to Him. That's the invitation. The fact that you call it a threat, I call it an awakening and an opportunity.
Thank you.
Try to go out to the whole nation, obviously first to your own group, and then around that in broader and broader circles to awaken them to connection. More than that, you don't need. That's what we need.
כן, דוד.
Yes, David.
רב, אני מזהה שיש...
רב, I'm noticing that there are external states that a person responds to at one time with anxiety, and the next day he might say, well, so what's the big deal? For example, there's a certain threat, so he's afraid for his life, for his family. And another day he might say, okay, so we'll die. No big deal. The feeling of anxiety from a state doesn't always depend on the situation, but something else plays a part in a person's heart.
The environment, as much as the environment gets us anxiety, and according to it, start formulating a general response to that anxiety.
So if I find in me that at one time it's like this, another time it's like that, does it mean that I am influenced by different environments?
Yes.
Thank you. So it turns out that we are at such a level of development that we have to say everything depends on us. However it happens, it depends on us. If there is a war, if we are killed, it depends on us. On what? On my 10? On what exactly?
On the intensity of the connection. And what type it should be, I don't know. You already have to feel the inner forces in nature.
How is the intensity of connection? How do we obtain it in order to change the situation so it doesn't happen?
Please connect, come closer, hug.
Take
more and more steps ahead. Ahead means to be even more connected. The, our good future depends only on that.
What can we do today to make it really happen? What is our goal? Let's, for example, in each 10.
Do everything in order to drive away the angel of death, our ego.
What should we ask of the Creator?
Help.
But
we need to be in prayer a strong, broad demand, deep, whole demand that he will hear.
That he will connect us in the 10 and connect between the 10s, connect all of Israel.
Yeah. Okay. So let's think about it.
Till
tomorrow. And